the book of Luke. Preach a message this morning which I've entitled, Praying for the Best. We pray for a lot of things, but I think God would have us pray for the best. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word in chapter 11, verse 1. Came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you for the wonderful blessings of the Word of God. I thank you for each and every one that's come today to be here in this services. I pray for our masters, our children's churches, Lord, out in the downstairs and out in the building, to be children, Lord, to be being taught the Word of God. And I thank you so much for that great opportunity. Now, Father, we need your blessings on all of the services. And here in this service, this preacher needs your power. He needs your wisdom. He asks you for it. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praying for the best. You know, back in the Word of God, I remember a prayer that a man said. He was a publican. He said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Seven words that are one of the most important prayers that ever has been prayed. It was a prayer of asking God to be merciful to him, and he admitted he was a sinner. He knew who to pray to. He prayed to God. That's who you got to pray to. Amen? Got to pray to him. He said, God, be merciful. He knew he needed the mercy of God. We need God's mercy. Amen? You see, none of us deserve it. And he said, be merciful unto me. He knew he needed it. We're pretty good at figuring out what everybody else needs. But he knew exactly what he needed. He needed the mercy of God, and he recognized the fact that he was a sinner. He no doubt about it. He said, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You see, everybody has sinned and come short of God's glory. Everybody has done that. I don't care who you are. You've sinned and come short of God's glory. Don't make a difference who we are. That's our position, you see. And we need salvation. We need the mercy of God upon us so that we can be saved and be forgiven. And so he called out to God and he asked God to forgive him. Wonderful thing. I did that back in 1966. I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to give me eternal life. You can name the time when you did that. You can say, well, I remember I did that back so-and-so, so-and-so. But you must, as the Bible says, there must be a time when you're born again. There must be. There must be a time you can look back to and say, I put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Not the church, not anybody else. In baptism, no. All those things are good. But it's in Christ, the Son of God, that we call upon his name and get saved. So anyway, that was a wonderful prayer. But I believe so. I'm going to talk about prayer this morning, and I'm not basically going to be talking about praying for salvation. I'm not going to be talking about that today. But it is a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to call upon the Lord and be saved. And I believe that everything that we are and everything that we do for the Lord depends on prayer. We started our spring campaign off and asking people to pray. I've asked you to pray every day. I've asked you to pray. I want you to follow through with that. I want you to pray. Amen. And we got to pray, because if anything gets done, it's going to be because our God answered prayer, you see. And then I think about it, and I think about how different our personal lives would be if we truly prayed. I think about our homes and ask myself, how much different would our homes be if we really prayed? And then I thought about the church, and I thought how different the churches in America would be, how different Blessed Hope Baptist Church would be if we really, really, really prayed. You understand what I'm saying? How different would our country be if we really prayed? See, our country's in a mess. I don't know whether you recognize that or not, but it's in a mess. And we need prayer for this country. And I wonder if God's people would really pray what the difference would be. I wonder if we learn how to pray and then pray, what it would do. How it would change so many things, you see. I wonder sometimes if we would ask ourselves, if I had the choice, if I prayed and I could ask God for anything, I wonder what we would ask him for. I wonder if it'd be money. Would be money be what we would pray for? You had a chance and God give you anything that you asked for. What would it be that you prayed for? The preachers, I think about preachers. What would a preacher pray for? Would I pray, oh God, teach me how to preach? No, it says teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray. Maybe it'd be to be famous. I want to be famous. I don't want to. I want to be famous. We'd ask God, help me to be famous. Help me be known all over the world. Would we ask God for that? You see, what I'm saying is, what would we ask God for if we could ask him for anything and he'd give it to us? Did you ever think about that? What would we ask God for, you see? First of all, we need to know we must pray. That's a need. We've got to know there has to be prayer offered up. 10 references right here in the book of Luke that we're in this morning, it references Jesus praying. Jesus, the Son of God. He was God in the flesh, yet he prayed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure, yet he prayed. You see, he had a sinless life and was obedient, and yet he prayed. Performed miracles, and yet he prayed. And I say to you, if he needed to pray 1,000 times a million, we need to. This was perfect God praying. You understand? John the Baptist was another one. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, greatest of the prophets, and yet he prayed. So I think if anybody says, I'm getting by without praying, we're fooling ourselves. You don't get by without praying. We must pray. Amen. And I believe we need to pray for the very best. Secondly, we need to pray in God's will. Look at chapter 11, verse 2. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. You see, the next thing we need to realize is we need to pray within the will of God. I don't know if you ever noticed it in the raising of your children. I certainly did. And most of you probably did if you took a note of it. But as a child, a small child, begins to grow, they ask for everything. I mean, they ask for everything. And you, if you're a wise parent, do not give them everything. Understand? But as they mature and become older, you know what they do? They find out what the Father wants to give them, and then they ask for it. I believe that's what a child of God needs to do. We need to find what it is the Father wants to give us and then ask him for it. What is best for us? Amen? Do you, in your prayer life, do you still pray like you did when you was first saved? Have you come to a little bit of wisdom and understanding that some of those things you prayed for early in your Christian life really was kind of frivolous? And then later on you learn to pray for the things that are better, the things that, and we'll discuss this, we'll try to show you what those things are, but I'm just saying to you, don't you think we need to take our prayer life up a step? Amen. Instead of always thinking about the little things that we want. See, he says here that the prayer I read to you is a model. It's a pattern for prayer, on how to pray, but he's not saying that's what you say in your prayer. It's a model for it. It's a pattern for prayer. It's how to approach the Father. Robert Law said, prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. See, we get it all mixed up. We're trying to convince God a lot of times what he needs to do. No, we need to listen to him and find out what he wants to do and then pray for it. Another man said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. You see, God is willing. I believe with all my heart, God is so willing to give to us and to help us and answer our prayers if we pray right. I'm convinced of it. If we have a heart that's tuned to God, and if a person came to him and asked for salvation, would he not answer that prayer? If that prayer come from a heart that was concerned and cared and wanted salvation, God would answer that prayer. Why? Because it's the will of the Father that all should be saved. Amen? So we find that this is not some form that we ought to recite, but it's a model to follow. Prayer is based, first of all, upon our relationship with God. He said, our Father. Listen to it. Our Father. You must have a relationship with God before you can pray. You say, I prayed before I was saved. You may have, but I want to tell you, they didn't get much higher than the ceiling. You see, unless it was a prayer for salvation, a prayer to come to God. You see, prayer is because we have a relationship with God Almighty, and he's our Heavenly Father. I believe with all my heart, the most simplest prayers are made unto our Heavenly Father by just simply praying like we would go to our own Father and ask him of something. And you go to the Heavenly Father. You do so reverently, but you go to the Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us and wants to answer our prayer. When in 1966, when I got saved, I prayed a simple prayer. I just asked God to save me and give me eternal life, and he answered it. Why? Because it was the will of the Father. It was the will of God that I be saved, and so he answered that prayer. But it's also determined by a relationship with each other. He said, our Father. Who's he talking about? Our Father. He's talking about the brethren. You see, we've got to have a right relationship with God, but we also got to have a right relationship with the brethren. You hear me? See, we got to have a relationship, a right relationship with the brethren. See, it's determined, you see. We go to God. We say, our Father, you see. Our Father. Do you know there's not a personal pronoun in any of this? It's always our Father, give us, forgive us, lead us. It's not lead me. No, it's lead us, forgive us. You see, there's an important truth here. I have no right to ask God to do anything that would hurt my brother. I have no right whatsoever. You understand that? Caleb here has an old car he wants to sell. He really don't. But he has an old car he wants to sell. He paid, when he bought it and he was just going to resell it, he paid $500 for it. And I've asked God to let me have it for $200. That's a silly illustration, but it's a true illustration. I should not do anything that would hurt my brother and him to lose $300 on it. Why would I ask God to give it to me for $200? You can think about that in all kinds of areas of life. We're out here trying to make a big deal. We want to somewhere and boy, brag about the fact that we made a big deal and we bought this and we bought that. I want to tell you something, brother. We better be careful. We better pay the right price. Doesn't hurt if you get a good deal. I'm not talking about that. But don't hurt the brethren. It's our brethren. It's a relationship with our brethren. Amen. You see, prayer involves responsibility. We need to know what God wants. First of all, he wants to be glorified. Do you understand that God wants to be glorified? Do you understand that's so important that in all of our praying and all of our doing that we glorify God Almighty? Do you understand that? You see, we need to know what God wants. He wants his name glorified. He says in that prayer that he wants his kingdom to come. He wants his kingdom to be set up on this earth. What a wonderful thing. You see, why don't we more want what God wants than we do what we want? Amen. Amen. He says he wants his will done on this earth. That's what he said. So why in the world don't we begin to take a hold of this thing and realize we better start praying for what God wants instead of what we want? Amen. You see, he doesn't just answer prayer to make you and my life easier. Do you understand that? That's not what prayer is all about, you see. He answers prayer so that his perfect will of God will be done. His purpose will be done on this earth. That's what it's about. We don't have a right to ever ask God to do something that would change the purpose of God in his purpose that he has for this earth and for our life. See, we got to get back to praying correctly. Amen. Now listen to me. I know we pray. I know all of that. I know it involves requests. He tells us in verse 3, tells us in verse 4 that we can ask for these things. I believe it's right. I think it's proper. But I want to tell you something. After we have put God's concern first, I think then we can ask for certain things that's in our life. We've been praying for Frank Mumo and Bo Ackelman and Dallas Moore here for the last couple weeks or so, very fervently asking God to help. I think we should do that. I think it's right to do that. But let me ask you a question. Is the healing of their body the most important thing? Is the healing of their body the most important? I'm sorry, folks. I'm using you as an illustration, but I want to use that. You folk are dear folk, and you've been prayed for, and we should pray, and we should ask God to heal you, because I have asked that, and I think multitudes have asked that. But is that where we stop? You see, God, I believe, is concerned about every need we have. I believe the small, the large, I believe everything, God is concerned about it. I personally talk to God about things that you would think so silly that I would talk to my God about. But I talk to him. I talk to him all the time about little things that I would call little things. And I believe God cares about that, and I think he wants to answer those prayers. But I believe God wants to be glorified through the provisions that he gives us. He wants to be glorified. You see, why do we pray for Brother Frank to be healed? Do we want him healed? Yes, we do. Does his family want him healed? Absolutely. But you know, when it all comes down to it, the reason we want that, we want to see God glorified. And excuse me, Frank, I'm picking on you, but that's more important than your healing. But thank God he's choosing to do that. He's brought him to church. He brought Bo to church. And you know, and he's healing people. And he has, and my goodness, we've asked and asked and asked. There's people all over this church that's been prayed for. And God has done a marvelous work. And thank God for that. But we better learn that there goes past just that physical help that we need, or even some need that we would maybe say in finances or whatever it is. Oh, God, help me. He done this. But it's got to go deeper than that. You understand what I'm saying? You know, even in the salvation of a soul, when we get saved, back in 1966, I got saved. I didn't know any more then. I thought that was the greatest thing, and it is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. But I thought, well, God did it for me. No, he done it for him. That he would be glorified. That God would be honored through my life. That's why God did it. Amen. And sure, I benefited from it, but you know, we got to get back and pray for the best. And I think it's right that we pray for bread, food. I think it's right we pray for the material needs that we have in our life. That is good. I think we've all got a lot of different needs. I said, did you notice I'm saying needs? I said material needs. I said other needs. I'm talking about needs. I'm needs and needs and needs. I think it's right we pray for those things, and God answers our prayer, and I think it's wonderful. I think we pray for jobs, people out of jobs. I've had many people come to me and say, I'm out of job. Will you pray for me? I do. I pray. I think it's right. I think we ought to pray for God to help us and the financial needs we have. Sometimes we get in behind financially, and all at once we ask God to help us, and he helps us. But it ought to go deeper than just fulfilling the need. Why did he do it? To glorify himself. And I'm afraid that many times we learn to pray for the blessings of God, the material blessings of God, and we forget the other. Chapter 11, I think it's in verse 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You and I, we know how to give good gifts to our children. We want to see them have good things and all of that. But he says, how about the Holy Spirit? Which is more important, a new bicycle or the Holy Spirit's power in a young person's life? Is there anything wrong with a new bicycle? Certainly not. But what's more important? See, and I'm going to take you to some scriptures. I'm going to show you in the scriptures that Paul, and as he practiced in his praying, he practiced praying much different than what we did. You see, I believe if we're going to pray for our children, one of the things that we ought to especially pray for is that the things that happen into their life will give them godly character built in their life. That's more important than a new bicycle. It's more important to the bank account. It's more important than anything else, that God would do some things in their life that would cause character, Christian character, to be built in their lives. Amen. And that don't always come with affluence. Most of the time it never does. You've heard this preacher say it. I still say it today. I am so thankful I did not grow up a rich person or in a rich family. I thank God for that. I thank God for the way I grew up. We was poor folk. I'm not bemoaning that, but I had holes in my breeches and in my overhauls and hand-me-down overhauls and shirts made out of flour sacks. Some of you don't even know about that, but that's the way I grew up, and I can stand here today and I can testify to you. Thank God that's the way I grew up. Because it put some things in me that nothing else would have put in me. So I think it's more important that we get into our children and to other people the godly character. It's more important than all these things that we pray for. It's more important to me that the young people of this church live a clean, holy life than it is if they are successful in some kind of business. I'd rather be as a pauper and yet live a good, clean life for the rest of their life. Pray for the salvation of souls. The salvation of their souls is more important than anything else. What they do in life is not near as important as long as they get saved. That's what's important. And I want to take you over now to the book of Philippians. Please turn there to the book of Philippians, and I want to show you what Paul did. Philippians, the first chapter, verse number 9. Now, I want you to listen. It won't take a long time, but I want you to listen as I read these next few portions of Scripture. This is the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. Call him that because he had a great God and he served a great God. But I want you to listen. This is how Paul prayed. Verse number 9 of chapter 1. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Folks, how many times have you or I prayed that somebody in our church or somebody in our family, that their love would abound more and more in knowledge? Look at the things that this man is praying for. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. believe in things and pray and approve things that are excellent, right kind of living, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That you will do this until the day of Christ. Hear what he says? Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And did you see what Paul was interested in? He said that you folk, talking to all of us, would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. He didn't say, oh, I hope you all are become millionaires. He didn't even say, I hope you all will have perfect health. He said, I want you to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. It's the kind of praying Paul did. Amen. Now, turn with me over to the book, Colossians. It's right next there. Colossians, the first chapter. Verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Well, what did he pray for? And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, he said, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Do you find him anywhere in here saying, and I know he's okay, healing and all of those things. I'm for it. But folks, his main focus was on the spiritual man inside us. You see, and I wonder sometimes, how often do we ever pray that for our children and our grandchildren? And the brethren of the church. Instead, we're always praying for something else. Yes, we want these other things, but these are the best. Amen. These are the best. Look at verse number 10. And that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see what he prayed for? Did you hear it? He said, I want you to walk worthy. He says, and he says, of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Do you hear what he's praying? Do you hear what he's praying for us? Praying to those at Colossae. Hear what he's saying? He wasn't saying, boy, make them millionaires, and don't let them have any trouble, don't let them have any problems. No. He said, I want them to walk worthy and well pleasing, you see. And he says, being fruitful in every good work and in increasing in the knowledge of God. I want you to increase in God's knowledge. That's what's good. That's what you should do. Increase in the knowledge of God. Amen? Sure. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 15. Listen. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Did you hear what he said? He said, I'm making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what he said. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. If whether we understand it or not, and I hope you do, but the principal thing is wisdom. If you want to pray for your children, pray that they'll have godly wisdom above all other things. Are you getting a hold of that? Don't pray for them to be successful in this world. You may want them to have success, but what is more important is godly wisdom and knowledge of God. And he says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. We need to understand the greatness of the power of God more than we need a job. Do we need a job? Sure. But we need the power of God in our life. And he says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Third chapter of Ephesians, 13th verse. 13th verse, 3rd chapter. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he's in prayer. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, what was he praying? What did he say? That ye would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know what kind of strength you need today? You need that inner strength of the inner man. Paul prayed for that for the Ephesians. He prayed for the best for them. Now, how often do we pray like that? How often do we get down on our knees and pray for our children, our grandchildren, and whoever it might be, and say, oh God, strengthen them in the inner man. Help them to be more like Jesus. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants us to pray for the best for our children, for our church, for our grandchildren. God wants the best. And I'm just going to ask you to take some of these prayers that Paul prayed and read them over. And as you begin to pray, why don't we pray for the best for our children? Instead of saying, help him to be a good little boy, fill him with the Holy Spirit, you won't have to worry about him being a good little boy. Amen. Why don't we do that? Why don't we pray the best? You see, all these other things, as I've said and stipulated, I believe with all my heart, they're important. I believe God wants us to pray, but boy, there's a lot of things that's a lot more important than what we pray for. Amen. Why don't you pray for Brother Bowe back there to be strengthened in the inner man, to give him strength that he needs to go through what he's going through. That's a difficult time. It's hard. And he needs the strength of God in his life more than he has, more than any of us has. He needs to be strengthened and helped. He needs the grace of God. So why don't we pray more like that? You understand what I'm saying? Instead of spending so much time on these frivolous things. God, give me a new car. God, give me a new TV. I know the other two, just they're just not as good as what I really want. Folks, we're a mess. We really are. Why don't we pray for the very best? Boy, if I can talk to you parents for a moment, please, please start praying that away. Pray that your children will have godly wisdom. A child that has wisdom is so important that he has that wisdom as he grows up and faces life. He needs the wisdom of God. Pray for that and help him to attain it. It's not a matter of just praying God give him wisdom. It's helping him attain that wisdom through the principles that are found in the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. I'd rather, Caleb, you and Justin, Ben and Aaron, I'd rather you have God's wisdom. God's wisdom. And know how to pray rather than know how to preach. Yes, sir. And we need to learn how to pray. So pray for the best. Think about your prayers when you pray and say, am I praying pretty frivolous? Is my prayers just pretty frivolous prayers? Or are they the very best? And I'm asking you to pray for the best. Amen. You remember the prayer, God be merciful unto me, a sinner? There may be somebody here today that's unsaved. You're not saved. You do not know if you died, you'd go to heaven. You just don't know that. That's being honest. There was a time when I did not know that. But I want to share something with you. You have to come to the place where you recognize that only God himself can forgive sin. Only he can. And he sent God the Son to die on the cross of Calvary, to die there for your sins. He paid the penalty that you and I should have paid. Jesus paid that penalty. On the cross, he died, shed his blood there so that we could have eternal life. And he was buried and rose again the third day. Amen. And I want to tell you something. He ascended up into heaven and he's coming again. Now, what does he want to do for the person who's lost? He wants to save their soul. The greatest thing you could do this morning is walk down this aisle. It's not walking down the aisle that saves you. It's trust in Jesus Christ, but it's a good way to express it. Coming down and saying, I want to be saved. We'll take the Bible, the Word of God, and just show you quickly how to be saved. How you can know for sure if you walk from this place, you're God's child, ready for heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Sure it is. That's what God wants for you this morning. Christian, it may be that God's touching your heart about some of your praying. You need to switch it around. Start praying for the best instead for the frivolous. Amen. So we're going to ask you, bow your heads just for a moment, close your eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I'm here today and I do not know for sure that I'm saved. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. You're just simply saying, Brother Ross, I do not know I'm saved. I want you to pray for me. I'm concerned about it. So I want you to pray for me. Will you just raise your hand? I just do not know for sure I'm saved. Just lift your hand. Say, I'm just not sure I'm a Christian. Christians, you say, Brother Ross, touch my heart this morning. There's some things about my praying. I need to start praying for the best. I need to be asking God for the right and proper things. Would you just raise your hand? Say, Brother Ross, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Yes, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray, Father, again thanking you today for the goodness and kindness of God. Ask you, Lord, help us to pray. Help us to pray right. Help us to get a hold of God and be concerned about the serious things that, Lord, we ought to be concerned about. Help us to put within our children the things that ought to be put within them. And that's the things of the Spirit of God. That's the things that you would want in them, Lord. Character built upon the Bible, the Word of God. And then I pray, should there be anyone here that's unsaved? Father, maybe they didn't raise their hand, but at the invitation, they just step out and come. Let us take God's Word and show them how to be saved. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.